Blog Talk Radio.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then. Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Okay, class, we want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie.
That government overreach is real.
What about you, Johnny?
We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave.
And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the tree of liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That party's for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually, but for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So who wants to work for the IRS? Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something luck heirs who will let us get away with it.
Hello Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireta. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio.
Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
We'll be right back. everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us tonight. Today is Monday, TGIM, everyone. Thank goodness it's Monday. Another broadcasting week is starting for us. In just a second, we'll have Christina coming in with us. She's our Monday night co-host. And if you out there in Radio Land have anything you want to share tonight, the number here is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into today's conversation. Christina, welcome in. Sorry, I just made a mess, like literally when the song went off, so I need a quick second to clean up my my garbage here.
That's okay. I knew something must have happened because it just went silent. So, hey, Proof. So go ahead and clean up your mess.
All right, I'm getting there.
You got to love when those things happen.
All right. I grabbed one of my flavor packets for my water, and I just dropped a whole bunch of stuff to get to it. So that's what happens.
Oh, geez. Okay. All right. So
now,
I guess,
couldn't just let it sit there.
So your health still on the right track?
Yeah, I'm projected to have my wrap on my right foot out on Saturday, and then that's it.
Good. Well, do you keep up with Steve Dace?
Steve Dace, yes. He had an infection of some kind.
Yeah, I started to say he's been fussing with it, too. He and his wife, I think they were in New York, he said, I guess, doing something with, you know, his movie. And his fever spiked again. And they had to put him in a hospital in New York.
Oh.
But it ended up being allergic reaction to one of the medications he was on. So that was good news. They got his fever down, figured it out, put him on Benadryl. And so he's okay. But, yeah, infections are not, they're not fun, especially the MRSA, because, you know, it comes from the hospital, and, man, it can be a booger to get rid of.
See, everybody except me that knows me in person thought the worst, and I was the only one that said I can come back from this. And barring anything crazy, that I'll be officially done this weekend.
That's great news. I know you will be very happy, I'm sure. Get back to normal. So has Fox's stock dropped anymore? I heard it was $930 million earlier.
Well, good for them. That's what they wanted.
I know. I mean, I just can't believe it. So he'll be fine. I mean, somebody said that he had more followers than, like, CNN has for the whole station.
Right.
Goodness. They're going to be sorry they let him go. I mean, there's a ton of people. Obviously, you know that. Wasn't he probably one of the most watched hosts?
He was number one as far as cable news goes.
Okay. Jeez. Well, he'll just have to join the YouTubers, I guess, like Megyn Kelly and Glenn Beck. They all ought to start their own show. I know that Crossroads just got their own show on TV. They're starting.
Who does?
Crossroads by Joshua Phillips. He's been doing so well that they're finally getting on primetime TV.
I don't know them.
Oh, okay. You would enjoy. He's good. He's just, he's not, you know, he doesn't sensationalize anything, and he won't speak of anything unless he has facts. So he always makes sure he can back up everything that he talks about, which is good. And I hear Israel is just going crazy still. So many protests. Just that they're just not happy with what's going on over there. The new, I don't know what you call him, over there, he's corrupt big time.
Well, a thing that's different with now than perhaps 100 years ago is that, and maybe it was the case before, but it's now more pronounced because of the internet, everybody knows, but everybody's more corrupt now than ever before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just so prevalent. It's just crazy. But, I can't say I'm too surprised. Because, you know, it just, to me, most churches, I'm a God person, but, you know, I think it started with the churches. I think a lot of them they're corrupt. And, there's
just
not enough.
Well, what's bad is when they're corrupt, Christina, and they're corrupt, and then they can get blackmailed. Because if you don't do what I say, I'm going to expose you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how it starts.
Yeah. The transgender thing is just so out of control. But there's some things happening now, I think, that's going to shut it down. Got to hope. And I hear they've got some information on Biden finally that they said they don't think that they're going to be able to get out of this one, but I keep on saying, okay, then let's take some action. Let's not just talk about it,
I doubt
that.
You
guys keep saying this. Ugh. They keep saying
it.
Well, 60
Minutes thought that they were going to be relevant again yesterday. They had Ray Epps on.
Oh, I saw that. I didn't watch it, but I saw that they had a clip or had interviewed him.
So he's trying to sue Tucker Carlson for making a fake video about him.
Oh, that was a fake video.
Yeah.
That he was in.
Yeah.
That he was in and that he was talking. Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. You know, I still don't understand how they don't have to literally release the whole video, because is it not illegal to withhold evidence? I mean, I know that it doesn't matter anymore. It's like there is no law when it comes to the liberal side. You know, it's like they don't have the same standards as everybody else. They can pretty much do whatever they want.
Well, facts used to matter, but now that it's a one-party system, facts don't matter because facts get in the way.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't understand that. I don't understand why they don't have to release the whole video. I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, allegedly with the Dominion case last week, they found a judge who did what they did to Alex Jones and among others, where they said he's guilty or Fox is guilty no matter what. We'll decide how guilty he is or how guilty Fox is.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's why they settled. What a bunch of wimps.
Yeah, no joke. They truly are. Really are, and it's funny that Biden thinks. I mean, they might though. You can't get too confident on him not being put up for re-election. But I mean, Biden really thinks he's going to run again. I mean, come on. Surely, there's not enough people that's going to say he's okay to run again.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
Oh.
There's still enough people that now they can't fake an election by 40 points, but if it's within 10, they can fake it. So that's what happened. In order to win and fight this, Trump needs 100 million votes.
Yeah. I mean, he'd have to have enough to prove that there's no way that Biden is winning. And that's the only way to do it,
because
by numbers.
There's only 170 million registered U.S. voters. You can't have two people, each with 100 million votes.
Right.
At some point, they can't fake it. But go ahead.
So this is – okay, so there is no automatic nomination for the sitting president. So Biden does not automatically just get to run again. He has to be placed there.
Yes.
Okay, that was my question. I was making sure I had that right, but I thought I better double-check that. So – but –
Yeah, people can run against him even in a primary.
So, has Tucker spoken about what he's going to do at all?
Did who say something?
Tucker. Has he figured out what he's going to do? Is he just going to do his own thing?
I don't know. I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, I haven't either. So, I mean, I'm sure he's going to have to do something. People are going to want to hear him. He's going to have to set up his own show.
I don't think he's retired.
Yeah, no. Not at all. Not at all. The good thing is now he can really do whatever he wants. So, obviously on YouTube you still have to be a little cautious on what you say. But I don't know. I think he'll be fine. I think Fox is going to be the one that's in trouble.
Who says he has to go to YouTube?
Yeah, I don't know where he'll go. But I'm just assuming Brave TV that Glenn Beck and Steve Dace and all them are on? Not Brave. What am I thinking of? The Glenn Beck Network. What is that? I forget what it's called.
The Blaze?
Anyway. The Blaze. That's what I was trying. Yeah. I'm just assuming he'll do something like that, but I don't know. He's obviously big enough. He can do his own thing. And I'm sure obviously he's got the money to set it up and do it as well. But so I heard I know what you sent me about why he was let go, but don't you think the statement he made about the question, you know, anybody just needs to ask themselves the question, did you know, any of these, like CNN or anybody, did they sell us out for their advertisers, which is exactly what they did. You know, they sold out, they lied to the people because of their advertisers, for their advertisers. The pharma,
well, I think
big pharma.
Murdoch wanted a clean house and go the way of CNN anyway, regardless.
Ugh. I mean,
because CNN is wildly successful.
Yeah, right. I mean, I guess they make enough money to where when they lose that much money, it doesn't bother them. Is that how it goes?
Well, it's just like Bud Light.
Yeah.
They're not worried about the right now. What they're positioning themselves for is in the future. They're not worried about what's going on right now. They can withstand the audience leaving. They can withstand the money.
Yeah.
Just like Bud Light, Budweiser lost $7 billion plus. But it's about branding for the future.
Did you see their latest commercial?
No.
They've got a normal one out again. But, you know, my brother sent me all the list of all the different brands now that InBev has. You know, it's not just Budweiser. Budweiser, they put out a new video of the Clydesdales, and it's a, you know, it's their typical. It's back to their, what people are used to seeing. But I don't know how it will affect it. You know, it's sad because the people that, you know, supply stores and stuff that their, you know, quality of life depend on these jobs. You know, for their sake, I hope Budweiser continues to do the right thing. People start buying it again. But I just hope things get better.
I don't know if I've ever told you how many Budweisers I purchased in my life.
Yeah. Well, same here. Same here. I'm not a beer drinker, but I, you know.
Want to take a wild guess how much money I've spent in my whole life on Budweiser products?
Zero.
Yes.
Well, you got to realize though, I'm in St. Louis. I'm where Anheuser-Busch is. So my dad, his construction trailer was. You know, he was one of the construction companies that had a trailer that was down there permanently doing work. So
yeah.
I've been around them my whole life. The horses, you know, you got Grant's Farm. The Clydesdale horses are just, they're so beautiful. But when they sold out to InBev, that kind of, you know, didn't settle real well with St. Louis. That they sold out to another country. So it was just really weird. Oh.
Yeah, beer
okay.
is just one of those things I've never, or any alcohol for that matter, I've never been interested
in. Oh, that's good. No, I, you know, same here, and it just, yeah, I've seen it mess up too many people's lives. And, you know, the health consequences. People don't realize how drastically dehydrating alcohol is. You know, you have to make up for, like, every beer you drink, you need to drink 2 glasses of water. It's a great dehydrator. And it keeps people from absorbing nutrients. I mean, it definitely is not a good thing. And even just one drink a week can increase a woman's chance of getting breast cancer. So,
well, the good news, though, is now nobody knows what a woman is.
It's true. I guess we need to remind everybody it's an adult female human. Adult female human. So, Yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm never going to use all these new words and pronouns and all this stuff. I don't even know them. It's not going to do it. Sorry. You know, who was talking about, off-grid with Doug and Stacy. You know, last night I was listening to his live, and he was, you know, he mentioned, you know, Americans years ago knew how to take care of themselves really well. You know, they could grow their own food. They were just very sufficient at taking care of themselves. And boy, has that changed. I think the percentage of those kind of Americans is very slim now. Extremely slim. But, you know, we can,
well,
I think the
admit,
best way.
I'm not very handy when it comes to cars. I can do the basic stuff and that's it.
Well,
I've never fished in my life. I've never hunted.
Well, I couldn't hunt. I can't kill an animal. I could fish. I'm okay with fishing. But I couldn't shoot an animal. No way. I just could not bring myself to do it. I'd rather try to find, you know, greens and grass and herbs and stuff to eat if I'm starving to death than kill another animal. But fish I'm okay with. But,
why is that?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I remember, you know, in the Bible, the stories how Jesus would provide the people with fish, you know. I guess I figure if he's giving them fish to eat, then it's okay. But the problem with the fish these days is it's with it being commercially, you know, fish and stuff, it's just too much again. I mean, it's just so sad that everything has to be on a commercial scale, that it can't just be reasonable. But I think the best way for us to fight what's going on right now is instead of trying, letting it frustrate us and fight it so much, I think we just have to find solutions and then put together the resources and the information and get them to people so that they know what to do, you know, because I'm constantly trying to gather information to do that. Unfortunately, a lot of it you have to pay for, but there are organizations out there that I've been finding and I'm still looking, but, you know, just like that will show and help teach people how to turn their yards into food forests. I mean, I don't know. I think most people kind of enjoy that stuff, but I know a lot of people just don't have the time. So communities almost are going to have to start getting together to do this. But I just am getting extremely concerned with the level of, you know, lines in the sky, all the controls and stuff. It's just getting to be way too much. And I had no idea. I saw a video today in 2007 by a Rosalyn Peterson. It was a UN meeting. And she literally back then in 2007 was presenting this to them saying, you know, we know that this is going to affect agriculture. Anytime you alter the environment like this. So, I mean, I can only imagine what's going to happen this summer. I mean, already I see the temperatures here. We've had 90 degrees temperatures for a couple days, and then look at Florida. Have you seen how hot it's been in Florida already?
No.
It was 110 degrees last week one day.
Oh.
That is just way abnormal. So, you know, what they're talking about, what's been going on with these chemtrails is they're saying that they're creating a bubble to where the heat cannot get out. And it's just trapped in here with us.
Yeah, but
so,
it was colder,
you know,
longer than normal, too, though, this year for many of us.
I mean, possibly, but that could also be...
Oh, I know for a fact, because 2 weeks ago it was in the 50s, and normally by now it's in the 80s, which now it's back to normal.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, we shouldn't be having snow in April in Las Vegas.
No. No. I mean, it's just, but we know they're doing something. I mean, that's not normal. Like they said, like you see pictures people post, and it's like, yeah, you don't remember seeing that when you were, I never remembered seeing that when I was even in college. All those lines in the sky. You know, you saw a few from, I guess, regular planes and stuff, but I don't remember seeing it like this. I don't know, but I'm just tired of them blaming everything on freaking carbon. I mean, when you research and go to the scientists, like that one old guy that's in his 90s, been researching that for years, you know, it's been proven all along for decades and decades that the higher the carbon, the greener the planet is.
Right.
When you start knocking down carbon,
you have a satanic cult that takes over. And they want to do things like kill all plants and animals, and they want to bury the trees. They want to chop all the trees and bury them.
Oh.
That's satanic. They're not just regular run-of-the-mill killers, because who would even think about that?
Yeah.
By the way, I didn't tell you, we have a special treat tonight for you.
Oh.
We have a guest.
Oh, okay, good.
You haven't met her yet. We have the radio show Seeds of Change, which you can hear on Freedomizer Radio on Sundays from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 3 to 6 Pacific. We have Danielle St. John.
Oh, great.
And she said she's ready to come in, so I'll go ahead and
open
the door here.
Danielle. Well, my daughter's name's Danny, so I'll remember her name.
Aw. Well, I'm here. Hello. I'm honored. I'm sorry about the poor audio. If you can let me in as a direct connect, I'm not sure if you can do that. I've got a good microphone set up. But if not, I can hang like this.
There's a button that says invite guest or host. So
I did that twice.
Go ahead.
I did that twice. Let's see. Maybe it'll work this time. Let's see. And then I'll hang up from this call if I can get in this way.
All right. If not, then if you tell me, if you send me a message for what email to send a direct connect to, I could do that also. But
yep, I'm doing that right now.
I did have one.
If that didn't go through, I'll send it now. Okay. Okay, there we go. Sent.
All right.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Hopefully this audio is okay until we can get this figured out with the good microphone.
Yeah,
but
we'll
thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for thanking me.
I got to say, let me just say, first of all, what I didn't catch your co-host's name. What is your name?
Oh,
Christina. Christina, hi. About yards as food sources, amen. Awesome. You know, totally there.
I didn't tell you, Danielle. I have a dragon fruit tree now.
Yay. I bet you it's loving life right now where you are.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to have any dragon fruits this year, but next year I should have something.
Okay. All right. Long-range goal. One other thing, you were talking about eating fish because it's biblical. Jesus really only preached that no pork and or bottom feeders. So any other game, according to Jesus and his teachings, were fine. And really, pork is only because of trichinosis
And I think we've got that liquid antibiotics these days. You know,
well,
but
as far
anyway,
as bottom feeders, that means we can't eat Bill Gates or George Soros.
All right. Okay. I'm willing to take that for Jesus.
okay. So, I don't see the invite, but as long as my audio is okay with you guys here, then I'm cool still using this phone. Rough day, I got to say. I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling a little bit melancholy today.
Let me just jump in. One other thing. You can always use Skype if you need to.
Okay. That might work. I think there might be a Skype caller on right now. Is that the 1111 number? Is that
Skype? It's not linked to us, so you can use the official link for us.
Okay. All right. I'll try to do that. But for now, I was really understanding what you guys were talking about earlier as far as like bringing, you know, maybe it's almost time that we start doing this community thing. You know, we've only done it for our entire human existence. It can't be too hard to figure out, right?
Right. You know, but they discouraged that the last 3 years greatly.
Of course.
You know, you got to be afraid of everyone.
And everything. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Are
you associated with, like, the Seeds of Change, the company that sells seeds?
No, not yet. But okay. I would love to have them as a sponsor. I mean,
yeah.
It's only fair.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, because that's really, like, one of the biggest things that we talk about on Seeds of Change is, you know, taking back resources, starting with the big three, food, news, and health, right? And so...
Right.
I've got a farm. I try to inform people as much as we can about, you know, growing zones and what you can grow and when you can grow. I walk the walk by having a farm and by, guerrilla gardening, right? So that's one of the biggest things that I've been focusing on, as far as taking back resources. News is another one. I'm sure I've got millions of listeners, or I will have, but at least I can, you know, I've got the contribution of, you know, current events and the things that, should be said about them versus the things that are, you know, farmed out, in the masses as, you know, in the echo chamber, right? So breaking down that and then, of course, health, and honestly, when you combine eating the right thing and eating the right information, I believe that does lead to health ultimately, right? So if we can turn people off of fast food and onto organic food, if we can get that message out there, the McDonald's might not be the best thing to put into our bodies. Maybe people will start to change if we are providing people en masse with a way to eat organically grown fruits and vegetables just simply by using the land that we already own as citizens.
Correct, yes. Yeah, I just think that there's not enough easy information for people to get to right now with simple directions. You know, people don't like to have to go do all that research on their own. They don't have time. So we've got to come up with a way, you know, to get it out there in very simple terms so that they can implement it easily.
Right. And there's actually, you know, just one thing that is almost virtually done, and that's an organization called Collective Rewilding, which basically is YouTube for homesteading, livestock care, container gardens, homestead gardens, patio gardens, you know, all of these things that we, you know, will need to do, how to build a chimney without killing yourself, you know, things like that, that will be easily accessible for when things go south, and they are going south, and it's kind of hard at this point for the average person to not believe that we're a society in decline. And, you know, what if with this platform and, you know, and with the reach that we have, what if we taught people to grow food and to feed themselves when the inevitable is coming, instead of focusing on Bud Light cans and, you know, things like that. And I'm guilty of that too. Don't get me wrong. I talk about current events all the time, right? But what if we can get the, you know, that average Joe, that, you know, Bud Light drinker, who's really offended right now, what if we could, you know, maybe not spark anger, but spark the energy to withdraw consent from the system? You know, the opposite of terrorism, the opposite of violence, right? What is that?
Right.
You know, what that creation and growth. So, you know, we go to the polar opposites because they'll never see it coming. You know, we already know that you know, there's COINTELPRO and there's all of these things that the government, which I say, or whatever you want to call them, the reptilians, the Persian bloodlines, whatever you want to call them, you know, we all know it's kind of the same thing. So, you know, I have to say that we have to give them a certain amount of respect. And I'm not saying that we should follow them or let them lead us anywhere, but respect it like we, you know, respect the ocean when we're learning to swim or learning to sail. They're a big body that clearly knows us better than we know ourselves as a whole, right? They can toy with us. They can, you know, get into grassroots movements and make them bad, you know, turn them into something bad. But I also think that we should learn from them in that they know us better than we know ourselves. How do we turn that against them? How, because we already know that they're, you know, trying to make us violent on so many different levels. The left is on the fallen for it, hook, line, and sinker. The right is on the verge of it, to be honest. You know, people are pissed off.
Sure.
They're gone. You know, how do we take that and how do we turn it into growth and creation instead of destruction? Because we know that they're capable of doing that. We know that they're already trying to get us to. So how do we take that and change it and turn it around and create something beautiful with it?
You know what?
Yeah.
What the answer, and this might be an outside way to look at it, but part of Seeds of Change, in my opinion, and it's your show, you could do what you want. I'm not here to tell you what to do. But I think part of the change is finding your own income. So side hustles should be part of the mantra, because if you can get out of the wage slaving, then you have time to focus on the other stuff.
Agreed.
When I didn't have a day job for 2 years, thanks to COVID, I set myself up. So even though I have a day job now that pays fairly okay, my side hustles are doing okay.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I've listened to two different things I've been reading, and, you know, with the business I am, and we've already discussed this, I'm probably going to close in October, and I'm almost right now, I'm okay with it, because, you know, I've been watching a lot about gold and stuff, and it's like, you know, I'm in that business. So here I am, I'm buying people's gold from them. And I'm realizing that that's not, I don't know that that's the world that I want to be a part of. Because now I'm discovering that, you know, gold has a very ugly side to it. And I almost feel like right now that I'm being called to get away from that. And you know, my passion's always been, like you guys are talking about, the health and the food and all that. And the only thing I've got to do is I've got to learn, because the health part of it I've done for 30-plus years. But I'm not up to, you know, I'm not real highly educated on how to grow. The little bit of growing I've done, I've just kind of been doing it, do a little research and try to do what I can. But I want to get serious with it. I want to know how to do all that stuff and help others do it and so forth. So, you know, I think it's time maybe for me to get out of that business. I think that that's what's going on. So I don't know. So just, you know, Steve Dace mentioned while he was in the hospital, he just He said, I felt like I had to get up and walk, and he started walking, and he said, he finally heard, you know, Yeshua, he said, I finally heard him say, I need you as an apostle, not as a soldier. And he said that just got him. You know, and that's what we're talking about here. It's like, I'm guilty of it too. I get angered real easily, especially when I see, you know, young people being attacked. You know, I see my poor grandsons and I'm thinking, oh, the world that they've got to grow up in right now, it's infuriating. And that's another reason why I want to get out of my business so I'm free to where if I have to, I'll go up there and, you know, homeschool them and teach them the garden and all this stuff and just get them out and away from all the darkness going on in the world until the light is brighter again.
So I sent both of you somebody that I follow.
Okay.
So for side hustles, and I might play, I just downloaded this video. I was thinking about playing it. I've watched it before. And if we're here talking about change, see, you guys know me by now. When somebody says, I don't have time, I have a job, and I have a family, it's like, well, so do I.
Yeah, I know. Same here. I know.
It's just a cop-out excuse.
It is, but also it fits into that percentage. You know, there's 15% of the people that do 85% of the work. So, I mean, that rings true so often in every aspect of life. Is Danielle still with us?
I'm here now. I think I'm on a good microphone now. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Much better. Yes.
Okay, good.
Much
Yay.
Better.
Oh, very good. Okay. I missed a little bit of that, but it seems like you guys were just talking about, you know, how do we take the next steps and the things that we have to learn in order to make those next steps as a community, as not only as a community, but as an individual and everything in between. Am I right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So, and again, I'm very fortunate to live in San Diego, California. I have the ideal growing climate. We have legitimate tomato forests growing in our backyard. We've got chickens. We've got avocados. We've got, you know, all kinds of stuff growing.
And passion fruits.
And passion fruits, yes. Our passion fruits is actually, like, I thought it would be a much more happy after all the rain, but it's looking a little wilty. But a couple peach trees, avocados, I mean, just pretty much everything. We're sourcing a banana tree. That's going to be fun. And of course,
we were sourcing a banana tree as well, but it didn't. I don't think it happened.
Hmm. Well, I think
one. Gosh. You guys, I wish, see, this is why I want to move to a warmer climate, because I'm a big fruit eater. I have oranges. I use, like, about 6 oranges every morning to fresh squeeze. That's my
Ooh.
Breakfast. And
love it.
I can't grow them here. I cannot grow oranges where I live.
Yeah,
I'm in Missouri.
Christina is, for the most part, a vegan, and she thought she can get me on fruit knowledge when she first joined us.
I learned he has plenty of knowledge on fruit, which is great.
Yeah.
So that's the alkalizing.
So one thing about Danielle and Christina, we almost met once. She let me stay at her house.
Yes. And I'm really sad. And we still have this story about that. I forgot to tell him to eat. There was one passion fruit sitting on the counter, and I forgot to tell them to eat it. And he's like, man, I looked at that the whole time. And
that's funny.
But that was fresh. I grew that passion fruit.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But,
yeah, that's
yeah.
great.
So right now we're dealing with, like, a different kind of super bloom at the farm, which is a weed super bloom. Our whole backyard is like adult size tall weeds, and we're slow, and we even have weed cloth down, but man, the weeds are just tenacious this year. That's our big problem at the moment at the homestead. But yeah, let me just take a moment to shout out my husband, who just got a new job and will be relocating to North County sometime soon. He's the new harbor master for Oceanside, California. And
okay.
Yes, so it's a big deal. And, and I think that it's funny because he's technically an unelected bureaucrat, but I think that we can do really great things with this position, fix a lot of problems, grow a lot of food,
nice.
and hold events. I see some Barefoot is Legal events being held at the harbor now that,
thing, in the city next door to them, the vice president of Barefoot is Legal ran as a mayoral candidate in the last election, and he finished second.
That's pretty amazing. See, so there are a lot of people around that really support what I think we're doing as a whole, as a cause. And I'm sorry, I hope you guys can hear the background noise, but there's a mini bulldog playing tug of war.
Oh,
so,
you can't hear our background? We got three wolves around here.
Okay, all right. But that's why I have the good microphone, so hopefully you can't hear it. But anyway, but these are all of the things that we explore on Seeds of Change every week, live it in real life, and promote, community basically at least at this point through food and through information. And I think that we've got a really amazing community here in San Diego, that are willing to change things, not just through the ballot box, but just in real life, like realize that.
Matt Baker has become like a celebrity before our eyes.
Yes, exactly. Just for doing something, just for standing up and doing something. And I really hope that we can also be as famous for planting food on the side of the road in a place that can, strawberries and tomatoes are weeds. Like, talk about low-hanging fruit. Like, why? There's no reason that we can't feed our entire community. And actually, I'm a little embarrassed that we haven't been able to achieve this here in Eden, right? Other places have weather challenges. We certainly don't.
Sure. I mean, that's, I'm sure you guys have seen this too, but, they're like, why not plant fruit trees on all the streets in a city? Why just plant a regular tree? Plant fruit trees,
Why indeed,
I mean, that would make so much sense.
Yeah, and there's actually, especially here in Southern California, there's a man named Ron Finley. He calls himself the Gangster Gardener, where he owned a property in South Central LA, and it was a very, very unhealthy place. It still kind of is a very unhealthy place to live. There's dialysis centers popping up like Starbucks and, all kinds of stuff, more fast food than healthy places to eat, things like that. You have to, travel 40 minutes round trip to get a piece of fruit that isn't, impregnated by pesticides, right? And
yeah.
So in L.A., if you own property in L.A., you are, tasked with maintaining your yard. Then there's a sidewalk, and then there's a thing called a city easement. Usually, in most places, it's called a city easement, where technically it's not your land, but it is your task with maintaining it, right? And so, looking around the city, there's all kinds of stuff going on where, toilets are left on city easements for a year and nobody says anything. And so Ron Finley's like, cool, let's do this. You know what we're gonna do? We're gonna make some gardens. We're gonna plant food everywhere, all over these easements. Somebody complained. There was basically a warrant out for his arrest if he did not remove his city easement garden. And this is like, I know that like change.org isn't, an organization that we typically like, but change.org did a, a sign-in, you know, like a petition, and with an overwhelming majority, the people voted in that city easement gardens were legal all over L.A. Right now, if you live in the city of L.A., you can plant food on the side of the road, and it is legal to do so. So, you know, you've got the strength and numbers, you know, thing behind you, but, you know, especially in places all over Southern California. You know, I think this is the best time ever to start doing these kinds of things and start taking back our resources and using the land that we pay for as taxpayers. Remember, it's not like, oh, that's private property. We pay for that land. Why are we letting them keep it from us?
I mean, how can they make it illegal to grow food? I mean,
well, it's one thing to make it illegal, but it's another thing to actually put a warrant out for dude's arrest.
Yeah,
and what is somebody upset? Hey, there's this guy that's trying to feed us. Arrest him.
It's amazing. Isn't it amazing that people actually are that vindictive? And yeah, but you know what? That Karen lost that fight. And I really do think food is something that is so primal that it is something that when we see it being taken away from us, and the right to produce food has been being chipped away from us in urban settings for a very long time, right? So, I mean, just look at chickens. Most places, you may, even if you can have a small flock of chickens, you can't have a rooster. Right. So how do you, you know, how do you have a sustaining flock that way? And you know, these are like little examples of freedoms as far as food that have been chipped away from us for a very long time. You know, another fact is that we don't.
What if a chicken wants to identify as a rooster?
Well, you know, that might be a good angle. Yeah, because honestly, like,
hey,
I know you're being
you
funny. But honestly, like when you've got a flock of hens with no rooster around, the most dominant hen starts to crow. I've got it on video. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that's just the nature of things, right? Like that's the most dominant thing. And so that's what they start to do, right? Unfortunately, like you can't really, I guess, compare animals to humans because we've got – you know, chickens will, you know, stick their head up and drown in a rainstorm, right? That's not, fortunately, we're not there as a human race yet. So,
not yet.
You know,
we're getting there.
So that's why I'm saying let's take it back now, you know, especially on days like this where seemingly the only person in mainstream media, Tucker Carlson, gets fired today for telling what we know to be as the truth, right? So there's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to have a lot of energy. They're going to be really upset. They're going to really want to be angry, and rightfully so. But my proposal to those people who are rightfully angry is to, you know, instead of, you know, you can pick up that pitchfork and go and make a difference, but just take it to the soil. You know, you don't need to be a violent mob. You can make big changes to the power structure simply by creating and withdrawing consent from the system, you know, versus being angry, at which they're trying to make us do. They're trying to make us angry. So don't give into that. Plant some stuff instead.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, and like I was saying earlier, you know, it's like, so, you know, get away, like you said, get out of the system and, you know, go create our own. And pretty soon our system will be bigger and stronger than theirs, and they will basically, you know, cease to exist. I mean, I think that's the better way to go about it, for sure.
The power of public perspective is what keeps us in this mess, right? And we can absolutely, change the way that we think. It's very easy to do once we break away from the fear that losing the system is going to hurt us in some way, when all it can really do is make us stronger.
Yeah. Very true.
So, Danielle, I'm glad you called in today because I was really hoping, and I'll plug what I do here. I was really hoping you would watch this week's Broccoli Man episode with us.
Okay, I'm down.
I see you liking this episode, and not that I tailor it towards anyone, but I think you would appreciate this.
Okay, all right, so let's see.
Hold on. I'll give you guys the links just in case you don't have them.
And then Is it liberal double standards?
Liberal double standards, yes.
Okay, awesome.
So when both of you are ready, let me know and I'll have it up on the switchboard here.
I'm ready.
Okay, almost there. Okay, ready.
All right, so liberal double standards featuring liberal person. All right, so I'll count down. 3, 2, 1, action.
Hey, broccoli person. I hate you so much. You are the something ducker of the year.
Hey, that's great. You can hate whomever you like.
You are not loving and liberal like me. You are just a dumb-proof negative listener. You do not wear scabs on your face. That means everyone knows you are just a dumb Republican and not loving and liberal. You need to put a bloody scam on that face.
Didn't you see all of the hundreds of studies that show that scam wearing seriously harmed your health? Especially with children. Many kids now have speech problems from wearing scams and their parents scam wearing too.
That does not affect me. I don't have any children. I also am vegan. I am a trans. And I also always vote Democrat because I am loving and liberal.
Wearing scams affects everyone.
It does not affect me because I vote Democrat. You do not do drag queen story time, so of course you are not considered human. Why do you not want us to diddle children? Even the United Nations says it is time to allow children of all ages to enjoy sexual relations. Why do you want to take rights away?
Children are not old enough to decide for themselves for what is right. No society in history has had X-rated be allowed and they stayed as a superpower. God dishes out punishment very harshly when you corrupt the children. Plus, I will arrest you for doing so.
You do not have the right to stop any kids from doing whatever they want with their bodies. If they want to whack their weenies off, they need to have the right to do so. It is loving and liberal. As long as an adult gives consent, it should be acceptable.
Haven't you heard of no means no?
No means no is only for trans rights. You are not allowed to tell us what restroom to use. You also are not allowed to tell us to put our junks back in our pants. It is our right to be naked in front of children.
That sounds like a huge no-pathon. So help me, if you have children touching your junks, you are going behind bars for many years.
That is it, you something ducker. I am going to tell the media how racist and genderist you are. You should be arrested for not letting trans women compete in women's sports.
It is not fair for women who were born women to have to compete with those who were born as dudes. They have different chromosomes and different muscle sets.
You are a dumb biznitch who was too cisgendered to know the facts. If genderist people like Riley Gaines do not want to compete against trans women like Leah Thomas, they should start their own league.
They already have one. It is called women's sports.
Why are you Trump supporters so obsessed with having junks? You are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs for not wanting to whack off your weenies or have your ovaries removed. I am extremely smart. I believe everyone hauled of their genders removed from their person when they are born. No ifs, and or buts.
But that means that humanity will be extinct without new population being born.
If there is no more population, that does not affect me. I was already born, you ignorant piece of ish.
Without men and women, there will no more humanity. You need both genders to keep procreating and to make sure the earth still has population.
You something ducker. That is so genderist. There are billions of genders now. And you want to say they're bees is only two. By the way, you need to get it straight in your brainless skull that two men can have a baby if they want. A man can get a woman pregnant, and you are just an angry person for not allowing trans women in women's sports. Even Michael Robinson Obama agrees that Leah Thomas is a great trans swimmer. And Michael Robinson Obama is such a nice lady. When you do not allow us to get freaky with the children and go into any restroom we choose, we will shoot you down. Adults need to be eradicated and wiped off the face of the earth. You are way too violent.
Please explain how you are calling us violent for not wanting you to corrupt our children and to not mess with their genders. But if we say no, you want to shoot everyone and burn their houses down. Isn't Antifa the most violent organization in the United States?
You are something ducker and a liar. Even CNN says Antifa does not exist. And they said that Antifa is a peaceful organization. The worstest violent people in America is you fools who believe in prayer. We need to put you people in a FEMA camp for wanting to have a religion. Even though FEMA camps do not exist.
Why are you wanting to do away with people for having a religion of their choice?
If you have a religion, that does not affect me. I am an atheist.
Maybe you need a religion so you can know what is wrong.
You people that have a religion are always so angry. You conservatives are never happy. You something duckers have too many kids and too many guns. We need to use our Second Amendments to shoot you fools because you are way too violent and you do not agree with us. You racist white people are killing black people in droves.
Why is it you do not know the worst killings are in big cities in Chicago? And they are black on black crime.
See? I knew it. You have to bring race into everything. That is why you are too racist and need to be put in that FEMA camp. Even though they do not exist. You are also a speciesist for believing that the Earth should still have humans on it. All the globalists are smart when they say the Earth needs to get rid of humans.
Doesn't that mean they are coming for you also?
If they want to kill humans, that does not affect me. I have a Lysenica Freedom microchip. We also need to kill all animals, plants, and even chop down all the trees and bury them in the ground. We need to save the planet. I am glad they are starting to ban rice. Rice uses water. We are also finna ban cows and make them extinct.
Without rice, over half the planet will starve. More billions will starve without meat products. How do you think people are supposed to feed themselves without meat, rice, or vegetables?
If the whole world starves, that does not affect me. I said I am a trans and a vegan. Why are you not proud of me?
Just because you choose to eat junk food and drink soda, does not make you healthy.
You ignorant dolt. I said I am a trans and a vegan. So I am healthier than you. And I also show my junks to the kids for drag queen story time. So my social credit score will not be affected. I even put a Brandon and Kamala bumper sticker on my iPhone so everyone knows I am loving and liberal.
Hey everyone. We need to stop letting these liberals run society. If we do not stop them, we will all be turned into a pile of rubble and humanity will die.
You need to shut your soup hole right now, you loser. If you do not allow us liberals to run your lives, then we will be stuck still having humans, plants, and trees on Earth.
That is exactly my point. We all need to learn how to say no and quit giving in to liberalism or our society will be completely dead. Please, check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Proof has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and keeps everyone up to date on all the latest news to help fight against the New World Order. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. Also check the schedule for the other shows on freedomizerradio.com.
I would never ever check out the Proof Negative radio show. I am too loving and liberal. He does not believe in the communist agenda. That makes him a fascist and a communist. You all need to listen to our communist agenda or else we will call all of you fascists and communists. You all need to learn that you will all be Z-eating Z-bugs and owning Z-nothing by the year 2030 or else. We need to get rid of humanity to of humanity.
All right, so that was an episode.
That was good.
I don't know what made you think of me, but except for most of it. I love the little slide in with the UN children can consent to sex story.
Yeah, as long as the adult says it's okay, then the kid can do it.
Oh my God.
And the WHO once again says that the kids don't have to tell their parents that they're engaging in it.
Oh, yep. See, that's the part that's so hard to not get angry about.
That's called pedophilia.
Well, you know, I've said for years that as soon as the masses realize what kind of pedophilia agenda has been going on right under our noses, that's when we're going to unite. That's when we're going to really come together. That's when things are really going to start accelerating. And I do see it coming together. Did you guys already talk about the Tucker stuff, or
not enough? Because I knew we were
yeah,
gonna
not
talk
a lot.
So this is a little segue, and honestly, I was a big Pizzagate researcher, and I don't remember this, but I've had several people come to me today, and maybe people in the audience or people here can verify this or not, but people are saying that Tucker Carlson frequented Comet Pizza. I don't remember researching that, seeing that in my research. Can you guys confirm or deny?
I don't remember that either, because I'm a little familiar with the Pizzagate thing too, but I don't remember seeing him ever mentioned.
I remember Cuomo coming out and saying that he loved Comet Pizza and that his wife really loved Buck's Fishing and Camping, which is owned by Elefantis also. But honestly, like, it's been such a long time ago. I'm you know, humbled to the fact that maybe I forgot some details, but I'm racking my brain here. And somebody who posted this, I was like, can you show me some research on this, some evidence of this? Because I don't remember this. And then somebody sent me an interview that seems like it was from recently saying, oh, yeah, Tucker always went there with Rupert Murdoch. And I'm like, I'm racking my brain here. I can't remember that. So if anybody's got evidence, let me know.
Rupert Murdoch didn't invite Tucker, and Tucker went because that's his boss.
Could be, but the way people were talking was that Tucker posted publicly that his family's favorite place to eat was Comet Pizza, and I don't remember that. I do remember Cuomo's family saying that.
Man, this Comet Ping Pong Pizza must be like one of the best pizza ever.
Well, he was on the GQ 50 Most Influential People in Washington, D.C. list
right.
One year. You know, oh, a pizza place, dude, huh? Really?
Interesting. Well, are you guys familiar with Gabriel and McKibben on American intelligence media?
No.
Okay, well, it's on YouTube, but it's American Intelligence Media, and, you know, you guys probably would like him, because they dig into this stuff, too, when they were talking about all the media and different things, how basically all of it is infiltrated with basically, you know, the dark side.
Yeah,
so,
especially the CIA, right? We all know that Mockingbird, right? That is actually a CIA program to infiltrate media organizations with CIA assets. We know that's where the Woodward and Bernstein came from. We know all this stuff. It's,
And they're just saying, you know, the internet and everything in general is, they're like, cool. And you know, you think about it, and it's like, so much of the bad stuff, especially involving pedophilia and pornography and all this stuff, I mean, you talk about it going
gangbusters is when the internet, you know, that's a major problem. And
it really is.
So I don't know. I mean, there's
and I believe it's with the supervision of these agencies. You know, I actually witnessed, you know, because I've made kind of a name for myself as a Pizzagate researcher, all of the topics, not just Pizzagate. And, you know, Pizzagate is the overarching umbrella of, you know, basically child sexual abuse and the systematic cover-up that follows, right? And Pizzagate, of course, is just, you know, one example of it. But, you know, when you really look at it, you know, I've witnessed myself because of this name that I've made, you know, I've made in this research line, unfortunately. And so people come to me saying, oh my God, I'm, you know, there's a public Twitter account with instant rape going on.
Oh,
right. And so I plug in a handle, and before I can even scroll anywhere, I'm watching, I mean, it's not infant, but it's toddler rape. You know, and this is on a public Twitter account, you know, and so as a side note, all of these committee meetings where Twitter is saying, oh, well, you know, we were partnering with the FBI to take down child pornography, I respectfully disagree. That is not what they were. There are so many active accounts like that. And here's the worst part. That account had over 900 followers.
Oh my gosh.
So we all know where it's coming from. We all know where it's being, you know, who it's being overseen by. And really, you know, the more soft disclosures, the better, right? We've got the Epstein soft disclosure. You know, the latest one I saw was Brooke Shields. Brooke Shields, the one, she was a teen model, right? Actor.
Yeah.
She was photographed nude when she was 12 years old. Like, now she's coming out and saying it. We've got the Jimmy Savile documentary soft disclosures, and the Leslie Wexner, and, you know, and Ghislaine Maxwell, and all of these people, and the Nixium sex cult, who also have their own private island, right? All of these soft disclosures via these, you know, Netflix or various streaming services, right? I really do think that these soft disclosures are getting people, the masses, ready to comprehend just how satanic and evil our governance is, our, you know, the people in government and the people above the people in government, right?
Right.
So we're on the verge of it here. And honestly, like, it's as soft a landing as we can make it, as far as having food, you know, as far as, you know, taking back our even our energy systems at this point, our water systems, make sure that we've got the basics covered for all of these people who are about to lose faith in the fabric that holds our society, the glue that holds our society together. And I think we all see that that's coming. So, you know, how can we make it, instead of looking at this as an insurmountable task, think of it as we've all read the end of the book, right? And we, spoiler alert, we know that we win. So, how do we invest in, instead of this overwhelming task, how do we invest ourselves in what God wants us to do as far as preparing the people who are going to survive what we know is coming, the tough times that we already know are coming? You know, how can we, in servitude, play our role that God wants us to play in this system, in this situation, in the end time? So how do we play our part? Really, like, that's going to be different for everybody, but that's what I think about every day.
Yeah.
It's an overwhelming task if you look at it from where we're sitting right now. It's very easy to lose faith. But faith is in me is in abundance, and I think that we know why we're here now. And honestly, 10 years ago, if you would have told me that I was going to be sitting here talking to you people and believing the way that I believed and, you know, going on the path that God has led me, I would have said you were crazy. But here we are. And I think that we all know, you know, why we're on this path and why we're all together. And I think that we really need to every day listen to what God wants us to do, how he wants us to continue to go, how he wants us to, you know, snowball, pick up, his army, and peace and love. And I think that's how we win.
Yes. And the good thing for us, though, is even though, you know, we know the horrific side of it, but we're also able to see, we know that the beautiful side of it that exists, that we can get to.
Yeah.
You know, we can see that. And I think for a lot of people that they can't see that. And I think a lot of people, too, I think that the things we're talking about, it's like the corruption and what's going on is so gruesome that it's hard for them to really believe it and comprehend it.
Yeah, but it has been for a long time.
Yeah, at some point, though, unfortunately, you know, they're going to have to see it, and it's not going to be good. But
I believe they call it revelation for a reason.
Yeah, very true, very true.
That's what we're, you know, the great unveiling. You know, everybody is, whether they want to or not, the illusion is failing. The revelation is here. And, you know, depending on how you read the book, that could be scary or that could be empowering. And I choose to see it as an empowering thing. Just like, you know, they keep trying to scare us about, like, oh, baby formula shortage. You know, it's like, oh, it's only we had a, God gave us a way to feed our children that didn't come powder. You know, if only we could have survived as a species before this. So, like, people, you know, they put this news out there as this, like, you know, a fearful situation. Oh, our babies are going to starve. And my challenge to people is, how can we make, like, this should be an empowering thing. You know, we have the ability as society to feed our children.
Yeah.
We have the technology to do it, you know, and maybe that's just me being, you know, I was a cow when I have two children, and I pumped with both of my children, and I could pump like 8, 10 ounces, 12 ounces at a time. I was just a milk-making machine to the point where I donated it to the local NICU.
Yeah.
Which happened to specialize in
food. Yeah.
You know?
But, yeah, I did the same thing. I know. And you know, it's just, to me, it's like I wouldn't use formulas. I mean, they're not good. They're not, you know, the makeup of them is not like mother's milk.
Yeah.
Not
especially
at all.
The beginning, the colostrum, where you get your your antibodies, you know, instead of getting injected. Like, all of these things, you know, it's no wonder they're trying to convince us that the immune system is a conspiracy theory, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So that, right. And honestly, my favorite one, you know, this fearful tactic that they tried to push on us about the egg shortage. Man, I've been preparing for that one for years. You know, 2017, I got my first chicken. You know, I've got 40 chickens in my backyard. I'm like, you want chickens? Aww. I got chickens, right? You know.
Yeah.
So that one, it's like, you know, if only we could keep a flock of chickens, at, you know, a couple places in our neighborhood, you know. They're so easy, you know. That was another big, I guess you could call that an I told you so moment, more of an empowering moment. But, you know, like, let me get you some eggs to hatch. We can get you some, you know, whatever eggs are, you know, kind of eggs. There's, like, meat birds you can have. There's super layers. There's all kinds of very low-maintenance poultry that you can raise, right?
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that people see this as empowering versus scary.
Exactly, yes.
No, absolutely. And wasn't the egg thing, I think it was related to, wasn't it the feed? They had done something to the feed that was affecting that. So as soon as people figured that out, you know, there wasn't really a shortage anymore. But,
well, there was also a lot of, like, fires in poultry places.
Oh, that's
like
true.
Big factory farming. And don't get me wrong. I'm actually happy to end factory farming for the most part. I think that local farms are the way to go anyway. You know, neighborhood flocks and things like that. But there was something that, too, the feed that was being sold in the tractor stores, feed stores, that some kind of Purina brand that was lacking.
Yeah.
But here's a little, here's a little tip to anybody who's thinking about getting a backyard flock or already has a backyard flock. Go to your local food bank and ask for donations that are not for human consumption. And you will get all kinds of greens for your chickens that are more than acceptable as chicken scraps and greens.
Oh, wow.
And all kinds of stuff that they really, really need that the little pellets aren't really going to give your chicken. Go to your local food bank. You might actually have to go our local food bank. You have to go to a Bible service once a week to get that kind of service. But, you know, I'm sure it's different community by community. If they've got a lot of scraps going bad that aren't for human consumption, it's perfect for livestock. So look into that. It's a really
easy. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Do you have any livestock or do you have gardens?
I don't, but I'm wanting to get chickens. This isn't a really big city. We've got about probably 40,000 people. But
okay.
I am in town that I have about a half an acre. And
okay.
I have plenty of room for a chicken. I just don't know how to raise them. So I've got to do a little bit more research. But I did read today about planting elderberry plants where the chickens are. Because
mm-hmm.
they said they love them. And they said it's good for their immune system. And I thought, well, that's a good idea, too.
Pumpkins, any kind of gourd is good for them. But, like, honestly, like, the first thing to do, so go ahead and research. And it's never a bad idea to research. But, like, get two chickens. Get two pullets. So, you know, just, you know, not quite laying, but will lay soon, hens. And get a small chicken coop. You can get them at Home Depot for $150, right, for two chickens.
Well, my brother, I can actually have my brother build me one. He's in construction.
Yeah.
He's already built me a greenhouse.
Oh, that's great.
So what kind of chicken would you recommend I buy?
Okay, and so you're in,
I'm in Missouri.
Okay,
I'm
you're in Missouri.
Missouri.
Do you have hawks?
Yes.
Okay, you want big birds. I would do Orpingtons. We had some beautiful lavender Orpingtons, but like something, don't get the bantams, don't get the silkies. They're cute, but they're going to be, but turns out everything likes to eat chicken. So, you know, you want to kind of reinforce your coop also so that there's if other critters are around that they can't get in your coop at night. But big birds, if you've got hawks around. We've got hawks. And that was our solution, is to get the bigger birds.
Yeah, I would probably completely enclose them, just give them a big space, you know, where they can move around. But I'd probably have a top on it, because wouldn't that fix that problem?
Yeah. Okay, here's another tip. Chickens are like potato chips. You can't just have one. You know, like you're gonna want to keep going. Once you get a couple chickens, you're not gonna want to stop. So, make sure you know that your city ordinances, and be prepared to fight if there's weirdness, right? Because there was some crotchety person somewhere along the line that passed a law that maybe doesn't even apply to your neighborhood anymore, right? So find out how many you can have. Find out if you can have roosters or just hens, right? And make sure you're within the rules. Another really good thing to do is, especially neighbors you're not super, super close with, thaw the ice. Give them some eggs for free, right? And make sure that your neighbors approve of what you're doing and benefit from what you're doing. And that's really the first step to growing communities, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, that's easy. I can do that.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm so excited for you. Like, I know you're not going out to buy chickens tonight, but but I think that you should do it. And, you know, it's fun. It's definitely an adventure.
And you, now, you said you have a farm.
Yeah.
So did you study? Like, did you grow up studying this stuff? Or did you just...
No, I'm a firm millennial.
Okay.
And honestly, like, I used to be a Democrat too. I am constantly making amends for things that I said and did when I was a Democrat. And you know, and actually, like, it, you know, when we got our first chickens and we did the free range and you know, organic feed and all that stuff, and the first time we got eggs, it was such an amazing time. Like, oh my gosh, look what I did! I made eggs, right? And we get the eggs and we crack it open in the pan, and the yolk is this like dark, like almost like burnt orange
color. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, what's wrong with my chickens? What did I do wrong? What kind of parasite did these things have? Right, for a millennial, remember? So I Google it, like, what's wrong with my chickens.com, you know. And I find out, this is like this, almost like a coming to Jesus moment. I find out that, that's what an egg is supposed to look like.
Exactly.
Not
yeah.
that pale yellow you see in the store. And that was like a, okay, we're a little even worse off than we thought. We don't even know what food is supposed to look like, you know?
Right. That's funny. Luckily, I do have around here, there's a pretty big farm that does eggs and all that, so you can get some local fresh eggs. So
nice.
I did know that part. That. But, that's
well,
funny.
Growing, I grew up in San Diego, you know. Like, this is very liberal indoctrination schools, right? I graduated in 2000, right? So, you know, very indoctrinated liberal schools. Very keep us busy so that we can't really study and research what's real. We just have our trusted sources of news like CNN and you know, Obama good, you know, Bush bad, all of these things, right?
Yeah, right.
And I'm very fortunate that I broke out of this early. But I'm not the first. You know, there's a lot of people who grew up indoctrinated like I was that are waking up to this. And it's exciting.
Yeah, because, it's so bad that, people can't help but wake up. I mean, good grief. But so does California, do the majority of Californians like Newsom?
No, not at all.
Okay, because I'm like, I don't know how he's still there, but
very rigid.
That's why I was very.
So I don't know if you know this about me, but I ran for Congress, and I actually ran against Newsom in his recall election.
Oh.
Again, like, I really did believe, and a lot of people believe in America, that our elections are what keep us free, right? And so what. That's another thing. Pedophilia and the fact that the thing that keeps us free is not ours anymore, you know? We learn just enough of the Constitution in school to know what we shall do, what we must do if our liberties are infringed, you know? And so, you know, I think that once people realize that our elections, and that's why they're fighting so hard against letting this January 6th stuff go, letting the election fraud stuff out to the public, because once people really understand this, how do they keep control?
Yeah. Oh, it's just, it's amazing to me that there's, I mean, it's truly amazing to me that Biden is still sitting as president. I mean, with everything everybody knows. So many people. It's amazing to me that so many of these people aren't behind bars with what's gone on.
Yeah.
But,
well, and I think we all know that the reason to that is that it is the pedophilia. You know,
yeah.
Is the fact that everybody is, and I hesitate to bring this up, but, you know, with my research into Pedogate, I've come across many survivors that kind of verify this same story of, you know, the pillars of our society are all in on this, you know, and a quote from one survivor, one that touches my heart the most, her name was Jennifer, said that, who was part of an elite pedophilia ring, said that they all do it. And some of them do it with a smile on their face, and some of them do it while they cry and are forced to do it, but they all do it. That's what we're up against. And so when you really get down to the roots of this, I don't really see any other way around turning our backs to the system, withdrawing consent from the system, and doing it ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, it has become too much of a godless society.
Yeah.
And that's got to change.
Yeah. Yeah,
no,
I mean, we're witnessing it. Up is down, black is white, left is right. Oh. Everything is backwards in this society. So,
yeah.
You know, it's time for adults to take over and make sure that when the rest of society wakes up to this, that people have a soft landing pad, that they've got food, they've got shelter, support, community to withstand the rest of this storm.
Very true. Very true. I'm just amazed too at all the lawlessness going on right now.
Yeah.
So, how's San Diego as far as all that stuff? Is it okay?
I mean, our cars get broken into all the time. So I live in a city called Point Loma. It's in San Diego proper, but we actually have 1 percenters living here. We actually, you know, this is one of the wealthiest neighborhoods in San Diego and possibly one of the wealthiest communities in California. And we pay roughly $3,000 a month for rent because we've got the farm up in North County, but my husband is a dock master. You know, we live about 2 miles away from his, where he works. We're about to move up to North County, but right now we pay $3,000 a month to live close to his work, and we play this cute little game called "Is this human shit or dog shit?" every day on our walk.
Oh my god!
It's terrible.
Oh my goodness! Wow.
my son. We're trying to, you know, my son is 16 years old. We're teaching him responsibility. He got a job and was employee of the month at Chuck E. Cheese last month. And 3 times since in the 6 months he's been working there, 3 times on the way to work, we've gone past some kind of an OD, some kind of homeless person had overdosed on the sidewalk, and, you know, there was fire trucks and rescue people trying to revive homeless people.
Wow.
This is one of the, you know, wealthiest communities in San Diego and possibly in California. And this is what we're seeing on a regular basis.
Good grief.
Yeah. It's bad.
Yeah. My daughter, she travels a lot. She travels. She has to go to New York and California. So I'm always a nervous wreck because I know
like two of the worst places, but luckily she doesn't have to go to Chicago. But
yeah,
she's coming out to, I guess, Santa Monica in May 6th for a week, and it just, you know, I'm terrified now, but I can't be.
Just have her buy some pepper spray. We carry pepper spray everywhere we go. Make sure she knows how to use it, you know. I'm not scared. You know, I've got, you know, big-ass German Shepherd with me all the time. We've got guns, and I've got God. So I'm not worried about myself, you know.
Yeah.
But people should be aware when they come here to be prepared for California.
Well, and she comes with, I think there's a, you know, they send like, there's a group of them because she's a creative art director. And so she comes out there and she's getting ready to do the, you know, the shoot, the spring shoot or whatever for the shoes for Naturalizer. So I mean, she's protected, but still, I tell her, I'm like, yeah, I know you're with a bunch of people and you think, but you got to be really careful still.
Pepper spray.
You know. I'm going to tell her that. I had given her pepper spray years ago. I don't know if she still has it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if she can take that on the plane. I guess put it in her suitcase.
You know, that's a good point. Maybe she packs it in her luggage, in her checked luggage, I think she can.
Okay. Yeah, I'll talk to her about that. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Very good idea. So back to I was going to ask you too about the farming thing. Do you guys do a no-till method?
What is? I'm sorry. You're kind of breaking.
I'm not breaking up. I'm on a phone. The no-till method, like where you don't till the ground, you just put down more topsoil, or how do you guys
like
grow
the
your
no-dig
food?
Method?
Yes.
Occasionally we do. It depends because we've got about the same amount of land that you do, but we've got a terraced hillside. So we've got, fruit trees and a bunch of different, like, ground gardens and some raised beds. And there's a guy, Charles Downing, I think is his name.
I know who you're talking about. I'm familiar,
the no dig, and so we've done a little bit of that, and we did a little bit of that just this weekend. I planted edamame, cucumbers, some kind of a melon, and some string peas.
Okay.
And those we didn't really do the dig method so much. We filled up a raised bed. So we'll see how those go. But we really wanted to plant some other things that were more warm weather stuff. But California
right.
has been so wet this year. We got a couple of days of high 70-degree weather, and we're like, you know, trying to shed our layers because it feels like we've been living in Seattle for 6 months here in San Diego. But today it was cold again. So it's a weird year. Our tomatoes are still alive because we don't get a frost. But But so we did a couple of them. We'll see how they do.
Yeah, I guess that's all we can do is just, I think that's the best way to learn. Try it, you know, and you learn. So.
And if you're in a colder growing climate, you can always do your start indoors, right? So you can always...
That's what I'm going to do, and that's what I've done so far, because last year I put a lot of different varieties of peppers in my raised bed from seed, and none of them popped up. It was so hot here last summer, and I think that's probably what was wrong. What happened is that they just...
Do you remember what month you planted them in?
Probably. I don't know if I got them in May. It might have been June, so it might have been a little late.
Yeah, probably a little. Sounds like a little late, because peppers actually do like hot weather. If you're gonna, Yes, they do. Not too hot. They're a little temperamental, but they like it on the warmer side, especially to sprout. But at that time, your best bet would have been any kind of melon. Because melons, especially watermelons, love hot. You know, those watermelons that you get in the store and you cut them open and they're pale on the inside and just like, meh, bland. That's because it was not hot enough. So.
All right. So I'm going to plant a bunch of melons in because I love a good watermelon. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Black Diamond is my favorite variety. They can get up to 40 pounds. And they're so good, especially if you've got days that are over 80 degrees. But right now, if you were really going to be serious about it, I would go out and I would get some corn and I would get some peas. And that's what I would start outside if you think you're past your last frost date. That's what I would put in the ground.
Okay. Well, and I can start them, actually. I could start them in my greenhouse and then transfer them because we could still have a couple of frosts. It's just you never know, but there is a chance. So that's why I haven't taken anything out yet. And I've got two fig trees that are going crazy.
Oh,
I've got to get them in the ground.
Nice.
They're going to be taller than my ceilings here pretty soon. But,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Just for reference, right down the street, we have a fig tree that's growing in the community space, like on the side of the road. Like we've got.
Nice.
Yes. Like we're so blessed. You know, California is shit in so many different ways.
Yeah.
But we have the good weather.
You know? Exactly. That's why so many stay there. I mean, my friend is. He's lived out there for many years, and that's all they talk about is the weather. So,
well, and that's all
we
really
want.
Yeah,
and
well,
it was
that,
nice.
Well, with that and the city that the farm is in, and this is not, I did not buy this farm. My mother did not buy this farm. My great aunt Penny bought this farm when it was a sketch on the back of a truck in San Diego County. And you know, it's been in our family ever since then. And so it's like grandfathered in agricultural residential, zoning. We're very blessed to have original property taxes. You know what I mean? Like all of the things. If I had not, been born here, if we were not third generation Californians, if, you know, my children were not going to inherit this, we would be gone. You know?
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, at a certain point when you know as much as we know, you know, you have a choice. You're at a fork in the road. Do you stay and fight or do you leave and start a new life? And, you know, what God has blessed us with here in you know, this Eden of a growing climate, I feel at this time I'm being called to stay and fight. Even though I live in a dystopia.
Yeah. Well, but you do have an escape. You have that farm. I mean, I can understand that. Your family's there. It's the same here. You know, my family's here. So it's like Missouri. Luckily, Missouri's been a pretty good state. You know, we've been pretty decent through all this. But I'd probably live in a warmer climate like Florida or somewhere. But I can't. I have to stay here. My family's here. My kids are here. My grandkids, you know, and my mom still. So.
Yeah, my husband's actually from Chicago and went to school in Southern Illinois. You know, so he's. I don't know how far away you are from, you know, in Missouri from Southern Illinois, but.
From Chicago, I'm about 5 hours, but I'm very close to Southern Illinois. I mean, I'm on the Mississippi. So I'm in Cape Girardeau. So I'm very close to I don't know if you've heard of Carbondale or
that's where he went to school is in Carbondale.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah,
that's great. No, my
Southern
favorite.
Illinois.
My favorite place to eat over there is it's called Long Branch, the neatest little vegan or vegetarian cafe. So
Okay, he said, my husband's shaking his head saying long branch, many hours
long
studying
branch?
Here. Yeah.
That's great.
Coffee house, right?
Yes. Yes.
By the Cadillac bar.
He said by the Cadillac bar?
The Cadillac bar is not there anymore. Next to it is, well, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The Cadillac bar, was it up on the corner?
Yeah.
Yes, he said yes.
Okay.
By Trace Ombres. I'm sorry. He's on the other.
Trace Ombres is still there. But right next to.
He said he worked at Quattro's, an Italian village.
That's great. A small world.
Yeah.
Small world. Oh, my goodness. But so how, so I guess he knows how bad Chicago is.
He does, you know, he's been paying attention, you know, and you know, it's funny because he grew up in a suburb of Chicago, Darien, and he, you know, so he knows how bad it was. He knows how, you know, and he actually knew some people in law enforcement that can, kind of confirm some of the pedo-gate stories. But really, honestly, like, the reason that he left is that his sister moved to San Diego, came out to visit, and went back to Chicago after this visit, and, you know, kind of went for, it was a very, very cold day when he got back, and went for a walk by a lake, and had to turn around halfway to his destination because he's like, oh, my God, my lungs are gonna freeze.
Wow. Yeah.
So he gets back to his car, and he looks at the weather, and it was -30 degrees with the wind chill, right?
Oh. Oh my
and then
God.
He looked at the weather in San Diego, and it was 70, which is a 100-degree difference.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think I'm going to move. And then yeah, then he moved here. But
oh wow, that's funny. Nice.
Yeah, I can't do that. Yeah, you know, and here's me. I grew up in San Diego, so I'm like, I'm a little bit of a weather snob. If I, you know, hot or cold, if I walk outside and the weather hurts my face, I don't really want to live there. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, in Missouri, I'm used to both. So yeah.
Yeah.
But I definitely prefer the warm. Definitely prefer the warm. I do not like real cold weather. Not at all.
Yeah.
So
right.
Yeah. I can survive in hot water, you know, or in hot without anything. But, you know, the cold, you don't have a way to keep warm. You're in trouble.
Yeah.
So
I can see that. Yeah. I can always jump into the ocean if it gets too hot, you know.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. Is Proof still with us? Or is he, like, just, I feel
yeah,
like we're monopolizing.
I felt like I wasn't part of the conversation, which is fine. You guys can meet each other. I'm not mad.
Oh, good.
That is funny. So how are the chemtrails out in California?
Oh, terrible.
Oh.
They're terrible.
So,
yeah, it's so bad.
I mean, that's a hard one. There's a lot of people that just, they won't buy into that. And I just don't get it. It's like, who saw this many years ago? And it's just like, you know, I listened to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s opening speech for running for president. And, you know, he mentioned, you know, nobody my age. He said, tell me, does anyone know anybody my age with autism? And I was like, that's a great question.
Yeah.
And, there's not.
It was so rare then. And don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of RFK Jr. I've got a signed copy of his book. I'm a big supporter of Children's Health Defense.
Yeah, me too.
I will not support him as a Democratic candidate. I just can't. You know, I fool me once with Bernie. You know, I'm not going to do
it.
If you really believe the things that you're saying, why are you running as a Democrat?
Yeah, very true. That's my problem.
It's possibly because his whole family is Democrats.
Well, I'm sorry, but his whole family is dead. I'm sorry to say it, but that's what happens when
you I'm not arguing. I'm just saying that that's part of it.
Yep, that's true.
And a lot of them stopped supporting him anyway. A lot of them have thrown him under the bus, you know, his own family.
Yeah.
So why couldn't he change? Why couldn't he?
What's left of it.
Oh, yeah,
very
true.
Yeah, but you guys have to know, too, they'll never let him get anywhere near the presidency.
No. They'll take him down like a Kennedy before they let him do that.
Yeah, they would rather have Ron Paul or Donald Trump in president before having him.
And I hate that because there's, you know, it's just, because he does have some really good, I mean, I think he's a good man, but I don't know. I just,
I will continue to support him as an advocate and as an activist, but I will certainly not support him. I will not give him one penny as a Democratic candidate. I cannot do that. We are creating a new federal Green Party, you know, Emerald Party. I could have Cynthia McKinney as his running mate in 30 seconds. That's what I've been doing. I could do that as a third party, not as a Democrat, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. This Green thing is just, it's crazy. And unfortunately, I think he might still go along with it. So that, yeah, they've got to get down to what.
If you don't mind me asking, though, Danielle, is Katie a one topic pony?
No, he's not. He talks about other things. He's talked a lot about the Ukraine war, but going up against, this is like a David and Goliath situation. If he's going to go up even singularly against Big Pharma, that's unprecedented, right?
Yeah.
It's not lost on me that the week after Tucker had RFK Jr. on as a guest, he is canned, you know? There's something to that.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, you guys, Big Farm, I mean, we know how much they control.
Yeah, yeah. And if you guys are not privy to RFK Jr.'s book, he really goes into the breakdown of the COVID side effects.
Oh, I've got it. Yes.
You do? Oh, I knew.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we're friends.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'll paraphrase here, but they talk about a juvenile study for Pfizer and one girl who was 13 years old who ended up at the end of her Pfizer jabs was on a ventilator, couldn't breathe,
wow.
Was in a wheelchair, all this stuff, and Pfizer listed it as a stomach ache.
Oh my gosh.
You know, like this is what we're up against. Like they are so skewing the data that we don't know what is real. We certainly, you know, anything that they consider to be scientific, I'm going to be skeptical of unless I see a whole lot of scientific evidence, you know, thoroughly lacking scientific debate in anything that they're calling science, you know.
From before it even started, absolutely. I mean, come on. No autopsies when all this started happening? You know?
No.
They didn't do anything right in the beginning. There was no proper research done.
Yeah, but they didn't have to because Dr. Frawdy was authorizing it all.
Oh,
right.
My gosh. Yeah, yeah.
And if I had access to a couple short clips that are already downloaded on our Freedomizer playlist. I could show you this, but I don't even think that we need to with this audience. I think that we all know that things are fraudulent and things are, you know, we're especially at the beginning of COVID set up to later reveal false data. You know, we've got, say, 60%, of people died of heart attacks. I'm just saying that as a number.
Right.
And you now shift 40% of that to COVID deaths. What is that going to do to later studies, to data that's cited for later, statistics? We're so far past anything scientific that I just call it trademark science now.
It's
not
absolutely
real science.
Yeah, no, I have a minor in statistics, and it's already, I mean, it's so screwed up. You have no idea. Because nothing was taken down right.
Exactly. And my husband, keeps saying, because I say I don't believe in statistics, and he's like, you sound dumb when you say that. And I guess, to a certain point, he's right. But,
you
can manipulate these things, to sway the public so much that I can't really take stock in this. And it sucks, especially somebody like you that's got a background in this. Do you feel your field is a fraud in some way?
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, I have a degree in mathematics and a minor in statistics, and I almost, became an actuary, but I couldn't do it for ethical reasons. I'm like, no. No. It's unethical. It's not accurate. I mean, yeah, no, it is a fraud. It absolutely is, especially when it's in the hands of people like this.
Right.
Who are going to sway it whichever way they want to. I mean, look at what they did with the MMR study. When they did that study, they knew, that it was affecting young black boys when they were given the shot. They were affected a much larger percentage than any of the other children, and they literally removed them from the study. You can't do that. I mean, you probably already know that.
Yeah, but it makes it invalid.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we can't trust any of the government departments. No, it's all bogus. It's all bogus. I mean, when you dig into Fauci and look at his history and really do the research, I mean, I follow Dr. David Martin. So Dr. David Martin, put together a community called Activate Humanity that we're all a part of, and so we're very, I know a lot about all this stuff, and he's known Fauci since, the 80s. He's found all the patents that were registered regarding COVID and all this stuff. I mean, you guys, this is the biggest fraud ever. And it still floors me that more people don't know about this stuff, about patents, and aren't paying attention.
And they keep that hidden on purpose, of course.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. For sure. So, but, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm kind of dominating the conversation. I could go on and on about this. I'll let you guys talk a little bit. I'm sorry.
Proof, you want to talk?
Okay, that's why you're here.
Okay. Yeah.
But at some point, I did want to play that other clip about side hustles. I've been kind of waiting for it.
Yeah, do it.
Okay. Sure, go ahead.
But if you want to finish the conversation, have at it, then I'll go ahead and do my thing here.
Oh, yeah, no, I think that's good. And just let's touch base too when we come back about the appeal.
Okay, let's do
created.
It.
Okay.
So did you guys become Facebook friends yet?
Well, no. Send me her full name.
Okay, first of all, I need you to get out of my head because I was just looking her up to add her. but it's Danielle.
I thought Christina was with our Freedomizer chat, so I didn't
I know, that's what I was looking up. It's Danielle St. John.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
Okay,
I got
okay.
It. Don't worry.
Okay.
I know
thanks,
how to do
Ruth.
This. I'm a trained professional.
I'm brand new at all this, so yeah, I've got a lot to learn. So.
All right. So that side hustle video, I've been wanting to get at that. So let me go ahead, because I think side hustles are just as important as everything else right now, because you don't want to be in line waiting for your food stamps.
Yeah.
And I know you can grow your own, but that's besides the point. I just...
Yeah, I think there's a food stamp tree. I'll have to look it up, though.
Okay, so let me go ahead and get this established here. So this is Journey with the Hintons, 6 weird side hustles that pay $1,000 a month.
So today I'm about to show you how you can do something strange for a little bit of change. I'm about to show you 6 weird side hustles that you've probably never heard of before, and they are paying people thousands a month. And it requires no skills, no degree, and no money to start. What's up, guys? This is Monique, and welcome back to the channel. I am back with the news that you can use, but first, if you are new here. Hello, bonjour, hola, aloha, konnichiwa, wagwan, shalom, assalamu alaikum, jambo, namaste. So let's jump right into these weird, or should I say unusual, side hustles. And the first is not so bad. You know, I have to ease you into this. But if you've ever been told that you are a good listener, this one is going to be for you. There's a side hustle that people are doing, and it is called being an empathetic listener. There are many people out there in the world that are having tough times, and they don't feel like they can go to family or friends to talk about it. Or they just don't want anyone that will judge them. And so that's where you come in. You don't have to be a therapist. You don't have to be a counselor. You don't need a degree. You don't need to be certified in anything. You do not have to solve any problems. You literally only have to listen. People are offering these type of empathetic listening services on places like Fiverr, and they are charging $60 an hour just to listen to someone vent. And you don't have to give out your personal information like your phone number. Usually people are doing this through Zoom, using video. If people are uncomfortable with being seen on the video, you know, you can always hide that. And also people are texting, and you can get a free phone number from Google Voice to do that, just to keep your information private.
Warning, it's about to get weird.
This next one is going to be on the weirder side of the side hustles, but it is one that pays pretty well. There's a company called Human Microbe that is paying people to send them samples of their poop. Yes, you did hear me right.
We want your poop. No, we need your poop.
This is something you do every day, so it's not you going out of your way to do anything extra to get to these docs. And this particular company is paying $500 per sample. If you take a dump at least twice a day, that's $1,000 in one day. And this is very real, y'all. This is very legit. You can actually become a stool donor. That's what it's called. And how the process works, after you finish doing your business, you go ahead on and put it in a Ziploc bag, throw it on top some dry ice, and you ship it to the company. And I am more than sure you are wondering, why in the world is a company interested in not only buying my poop, but paying premium price for it? That is a very good question. And one reason is because of something called fecal transplants.
some patients are in need of donors so that they can actually help with their gut health to increase the good bacteria and the microorganisms so that they can have a healthier gut. And another reason is for research. There is a lot of drugs that are being tested as well for different things like C. diff, and that's another story for another day of. Now, I will say that human microbes have some pretty strict requirements for their donors, and you have to really be in good health, you have to be physically fit, and a list of other things. But do not fear if you don't fall in all of those requirements. There are actually other companies that would like to pay you for your poop as well. And one of them is called Good Nature. And these companies are paying about $1,500 a month, which is not as much as the other one, but I mean, to get paid to do something that you should naturally be doing anyway, I'll take the $1,500. So you let me know down in the comments, is this a side hustle that you would actually consider doing?
So before we get into the next weird side hustle, there has actually been some weird things happening right here on the internet. There are scammers creating fake channels pretending to be me, and they're also doing this to other YouTubers. So please remember, I do not have a WhatsApp or a Telegram, nor will I ever ask you to send me money to invest in anything. And this is the perfect time to talk about today's sponsor, Aura. Aura protects your data from hackers, scammers, and spammers. One thing Aura does is they continuously monitor the dark web looking for your emails, passwords, and your social security number, and they send alerts fast to your phone or email when they find anything. So I signed up for Aura, and after a few hours, I received an alert that said they found my personal information on the dark web over 28 times. And luckily, they told me what I can do to secure my account. Aura's VPN allows you to stay anonymous online by keeping your browsing history and your personal information safe and encrypted, and their antivirus software will block malware and viruses before they infect your devices. So protect yourself and your family from identity theft at aura.com/Hintons. And if you use my link right now, Aura will give you a 2-week free trial so that you can see for yourself how many times Aura finds you or your family members' personal information on the dark web. And make sure you let me know down in the comments how many times they find your personal information. Now back to these weird side hustles.
Now for this next side hustle, there are many of you that may consider this weird, but I am telling you there is a huge market for it. And what I am talking about is ASMR. And in case you are not familiar with ASMR, I'm sure many people don't even know what it stands for.
It means Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response.
But basically it is a sensation that people get when they hear certain sounds.
And also tapping sound, and then you add some visuals to it.
And if you have a soothing voice or a talent for making those gentle sounds, then you can start streaming this live on TikTok or on YouTube. But let me warn you, it can get really weird, yo, like this. This is a person that is live on TikTok right now, and they are doing, I believe it's comedy ASMR. That's why they have all of those other things going on with it. But as you can see, these different type of emojis are popping up. That's actually tips that they are being paid for doing this ASMR live. And at the top up here, that is 4,000 people that are watching her live doing this. Yes. So it does not have to get as unusual as this one, but this is really a huge field. If you look over here on YouTube, you will see that people are getting millions of views for doing these type of videos. And this channel makes up to $63,000 a month doing this. The only things you'll need for this is a camera, a microphone, and some creativity. And of course, it takes time to build a following and to start monetizing your videos, because I think you may need 1,000 followers on TikTok. But let me tell you one thing. All you need is one good video on TikTok to blow up, and you'll have 1,000 followers like that. But if you want me to do a detailed video about this to show you everything you really need, take you step by step with setting this type of channel up, then comment down below and let me know, and I'll go ahead on and bring you a video. Now, I know we have been diving on the deep end of the weird side hustle spectrum, but I am going to reel us back in a little bit, and with this next side hustle, you'll be able to enter into the world of virtual babysitting. And yes, I did say virtual. This is a side hustle that you can provide caregiver services to families that are in need right from the comfort of your home. And you're probably like, well, how can I babysit without physically having someone to babysit? You do that by going to sites like virtualbabysittersclub.com. And this is a legitimate business. This is a legit site. This has been seen on CBS, ABC News, Good Morning America, and Business Insider. And these people are usually paid about $30 an hour to sit with people, like if their parents are busy, they need a break to finish some tasks, maybe do some house chores, or to finish up some work because, you know, a lot of people are working from home. And you'll pretty much be responsible for keeping the child engaged and entertained while their parents are busy. And usually you'll do things like read a story, play games, help them with homework, or some other type of things. Maybe you go tap dance or something. I don't know. But you just need to keep them entertained. And because you are not physically there with the child, that means that you can be available to families anywhere in the world. Now, y'all let me know down below if you've ever heard of virtual babysitting, because this one was actually new to me. But the show must go on, and I have yet another good one for you. I'm bringing variety, guys, because I know a lot of people have a lot of needs, a lot of different interests, and somewhere in here you should be able to find something that intrigues you. And if you like to sleep, this next one is for you. Did you know that you can get paid to review sleeping products and to sleep in general? So Sleep Junkie is a site that is often doing different random sleep type of studies, and they're often looking for reviewers to do this. They were just looking for people to help them with a study that they were doing about sleeping outside. They wanted to see how outside impacts your sleep. So they were searching for a family of four to go on a three-day all-expense-paid camping trip, and they paid them $1,500 to do it. They do these type of reviews often. They just did another one where they want you to just eat cheese before you go to sleep because they want to see how cheese impacts your sleep, and they paid them $1,000 to do it. And there are many other companies that are doing this as well. All you have to do is Google. One off the top of my head I can think of is a company called Each Night. I came across a study that they were previously doing to where they were looking for people that were willing to take 30-minute naps for 30 days, and they would pay them $1,500 to do it. That sounds like something I would sign up for. You let me know down in the comments if it's something that you wouldn't mind doing either. Now, next up on this unusual list of side hustles is going to be one that I believe is pretty interesting. So what if I told you that you can make some good money singing happy birthday to people? And get this, you do not have to know how to sing.
Happy birthday to you.
There are people that are willing to buy happy birthday videos from you, but usually people put a spin on it and make it funny or do some silly type of stuff in it. And they are offering these services on places, again, like Fiverr. So there's a market for this, y'all. People are searching for these happy birthday funny videos that they can send to their family and friends. And you can be the one to create it for them. Now, this person actually charged $20 to create happy birthday videos like this, and they have over 1,600 reviews, which means they actually got way more sales than that because, you know, everybody's not going to review. However, if we take these 1,600 reviews and multiply by the $20 that they charge, then they have made over $32,000 from just making videos like this. So on a scale from weird to weirder, please let me know where each of these side hustles that we went over today falls. And also, if you have not liked this video, please do so for me because it helps me out. I thank you so much for watching, and until next time, we are out. Peace.
I have several follow-up questions.
Okay.
I don't want to dominate, though. So do you want to go first?
No, go ahead. Get it started.
Okay. So ASM, I don't know what she was doing. I don't know what that side hustle. I'm going to need some video evidence. Empathetic listener. I'd probably tell them to grow food. Although I did think that maybe empathetic babysitter might be another side hustle. Like combining the virtual babysitter with empathetic listener.
That's true.
Poop.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big no for me. Yeah. Naps. I'm very, very interested. Very interested in the naps side hustle. I definitely want more information on that one. Happy birthday. I think I can get creative with that. That's all I got.
soul thing, the soul, oh, that one still just blows my mind. Although, you know, there's several instances where it really has helped people. I literally heard a story, I was reading about this, and the doctor said that they did this to somebody with Alzheimer's, and within a month, the person could remember his daughter's birth date again.
And what side hustle was that? The ASM?
I don't know what she called it, but that's the fecal stool implant. Where you volunteer to, yeah, you have to be healthy and all this, and yeah, you donate.
Well,
and then
yeah,
they implant it into someone else.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it makes some sense, but I don't know. It's kind of gross, but
yeah, yeah. And who knows what else they're doing? Who knows what else? I don't really want my poop out there to be scrutinized. Everybody's
yeah.
so kind of.
No. I'm hoping they come up with a better way.
Yeah.
So,
still willing to donate my nap time for science.
Yeah.
I'll get paid for that.
No, yeah,
I think
sure.
There could be a lot worse stuff, though.
My husband said he should have made $60 this afternoon with his poop donations if he...
Honey. Oh gosh.
Well,
if we're going on $1,500 a day,
good money when I have my issues, if I eat something wrong.
But if we're talking about $1,500 a day, I don't know.
I know that's true. That's true. I could use some extra money right now.
I could eat a little more spinach.
Oh goodness. That's true, but the nap part though, I can't nap during the day. It would be really hard for me.
Oh,
I don't think I could.
Do that.
Really? I don't know.
I could be a champion napper.
I think that's the hardest.
Go ahead.
That's the difficult part, I think, sometimes about being vegan and eating a lot of fruit and vegetables,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're on high fruit. You don't get as sleepy, so because it gives you so much energy. So I don't know, but I'd have a hard time taking a nap during the day. But the thing of it is, I go to bed early usually. I don't on Monday night, but I'm in bed by 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then get up early. So.
Yeah,
we
stay up a little later around here.
So, yeah, you guys are, two, well, no, Proof, you're just 1 hour. But then, yeah, Danielle, you would be 2 hours, I guess, yeah.
What do you mean? Danielle and I
different.
Are the same time. We're Pacific
oh,
time.
Oh, you are the same? So you're 2 hours, too, different. Okay, I keep on thinking that Vegas is just 1 hour. Is it two?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah, we're on the same time zone.
Okay, so it's just 8:30 for both of you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but I get up early because of the I'm right under the flight path for San Diego Airport.
Yeah.
So we're up at 6:30, you know, regardless.
Yeah. The appeal, Kurt, did I talk to you about appeal last week? I can't remember.
No, but you can definitely bring it up now.
Okay. So have either of you read anything about this?
Yeah, I'm familiar with appeal. I've been trying to find it in the store so that I can talk more about it.
I mean, it's another one of those reasons why we have to, you know, get people to grow their own food again, because here we go, and it's Gates again. So I'm sorry, but I'm not going to trust anything that man has a hand in. And they've been doing this for a while, and of course, you know, we don't hear about it until we've possibly already eaten it. But Appeal, and it's just APEEL.com, and it makes it look wonderful, like it's harmless. But they've created this product, and they spray it on plants.
I did hear about that.
And okay, you heard about it. And it's supposedly Walmart and Target are carrying the product, and they're even using it on organic products.
Ew.
Yep. So.
Well, I can tell you that I've got two avocado trees, and I will send you organic avocados with no epoxy or appeal or whatever they're calling it. Yeah, I will pledge to send you some avocados without that nonsense on it.
That's just crazy. Yeah. I wish you grew oranges.
I do. I do.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yes. I think they're Mandarin.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to find somebody that has navel oranges that I can purchase. Because for some reason, the little health food store I usually order cases from, they haven't been able to get them.
Interesting.
Supposedly there's something wrong with the crops or something, but I can find them non-organic, but I can't find them organic right now. But I prefer organic, but with the navels, I mean, I'm just juicing them, you know, I'm not going to eat the skin, so.
Yeah, you're juicing.
I'll take them. Yeah. So if you find a good source for navel oranges, just let me know.
I'm going to write it down. I'll try. Let me see what I can find.
See, there's another one that you might like. They're ugly fruits. And I know Temecula had their own Temecula Uglies.
Oh, imperfect kind of situation?
No, it's spelled UGLI, ugly, or oogly, it's pronounced.
Ooh. Oh. Okay.
We're a member of a wine club up there, so we go up at least a couple, you know, once every couple months.
I think that's where these last navel oranges I got that were not organic, I think they came out of California. I just bought them at a produce stand. But I think that they said that's where they came from. So.
Well, you know, let me know. Use me as a resource.
Okay.
I'm here, you know.
Absolutely.
For sure. I'd love to help you out.
Oh, I'm so grateful that I've been able to meet you, because you're going to be – you know, a world of knowledge for me starting out with all this stuff.
Well, yeah, not only that, but, you know, any kind of produce in the meantime. If I can help out, let me know.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, if you can hook up with some mangosteen, she'd like that.
I think you're the only one that can hook up mangosteens. I'm not sure.
Hey, if you go to Seafood City, they might have it.
Could be.
No, they do have it at Seafood City a few times a year. I'm serious on that.
Okay. We're looking at getting a couple banana trees. That's going to be a new one for us.
Oh, that would be great. I go through bananas like crazy. I make smoothies for people, and you know, that's always a base.
Yeah. We've never grown them before, but we're gonna try. We'll see what happens.
Well, that'll be fun.
I
mean, do bananas grow in California?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For sure. We can grow most things here.
You know,
I've seen them growing in yards 3 times so far.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
There's one fruit I still wonder. Do either of you ever see anybody getting like growing? Because I've heard it's impossible. But they say that you cannot grow acai berries like over in this country. They're saying that they will only grow in the Amazon forest. Do you guys know if that's true?
I've never grown them, but I'm looking forward to the challenge. I could try to grow them.
Well, they're saying because of how they feed. They said they feed on the Amazon forest floor. So they said the roots of the tree come up and eat from the forest floor. And they said that cannot be reproduced. So they said that's why it always fails. Every time someone tries to grow them over here, they said they just, you know, you can't get the food right. So those trees are like immersed underwater for months at a time sometimes. So it's a very hardy, you know, tree and plant. But so I don't know. That's what they say. I don't know if it was a sell gimmick or if it's the truth.
Well, I'm actively researching. I'll put it aside, but I don't see any reason we can't grow them here. Growing zone. One second, I know we're live. I'm not trying to take up airtime researching plants. Oh, we can grow them here. Growing climates for acai are 10A, 10B, that's me, 9A, 9B, which is me, 10A, 10B, 11A, 11B. So tropical, no frost. You can't grow acai in places that have frost. This is just initial research. But it looks like these are plants that can only grow in places that don't have frost.
Okay.
Which
well,
is
that
mean,
makes sense.
I'm going to put it on my growing list.
New challenge.
I'm also trying to grow loofahs. Have you ever grown a loofah?
No.
No.
They do not grow on the ocean floor. I thought they did up until a few years ago. But loofah is actually a plant that we can grow here.
Huh.
I don't know if it can... I mean, I can... Okay, people can grow it here. I can't. I've tried to grow it about 4 times. And I've got a whole lot of leafage, but never any sponges.
I want to try to grow asparagus, too.
Oh, I have asparagus.
So is there any way to get it growing faster? I mean, or do you just have to grow it from the seed and wait for 3 years?
Yeah, I'm at 5, and I've got... enough to make one salad.
Okay.
So I don't know. Yeah, I have. That's me. But they say that the really truly great gardeners are the ones that have killed more plants than they've grown. So that's what I am.
That's good. Experience. Experience is important.
Yeah.
And you do learn. You learn from mistakes. You do. I mean, this
absolutely.
Is true.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, so. Okay, well, I'm not going to bring up any of that stuff this late.
Oh, I'm sorry. I feel like I've dominated this conversation.
No. This is just, no, and I almost don't want to bring it up because it's a good conversation about the growing and stuff and how we need to, you know, empower people to feed themselves and all this stuff. And I just, it was about the mRNA vaccines and, you know, how they're saying that they're, the prion-based diseases can be induced by them. And I just, I don't know if I want to talk about that now.
Well, I mean, 15 minutes left in the show, that could be a whole other show. But
yeah.
You're right. You're right. And, you know, and a lot of America still relies on factory farming, right? But somebody brought up not too long ago, it was a Bible verse that basically indicated it might have been in the book of Daniel, talking about how in the end times, people, you know, the righteous, the chosen, can eat poison, face snakes, and not be poisoned. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's all of these things that we're facing, you know, as the chosen and as humanity, you know, representatives of humanity, that, you know, a lot of poison is going to be introduced to our society. It is being introduced to our society. But the chosen will be able to, you know, be introduced to venom and not be poisoned, you know.
Yeah.
Not to downplay a topic that deserves a whole show, but
right.
I think that if we really focus on, you know, our salvation, these very truthful topics won't really burn us, won't really affect us, because, you know, we're protected by something much bigger, an anti-venom that is eternal.
True.
So yeah, we're facing a lot of poison, but I don't think we will.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I just still, you know, to this day, I was still shocked at how many people, well, I'm not shocked, it was fear. I mean, fear is very powerful. And
yeah. One hell of a drug.
Yep. And too many people are worn out and too busy and, you know, they don't have that faith anymore. So fear just grabbed a hold of them and, you know,
yeah.
They lined up for whatever, believing.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's not to keep bringing it back to the Bible, but, you know, many are called and few are chosen. You know?
Yeah.
And so it's really hard. And especially, like, I get really mad. One of the personal things, my personal, like, journeys that I'm working on is being really angry at people who wear masks. And it still happens a lot here in San Diego.
Yeah.
I can't believe how many people are still wearing scams.
It's hard for me.
They are here, too.
Yeah. And to me, it's like, it's almost like a poison I'm giving to myself when I see somebody wearing a mask outside on an 80-degree day, and I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you failing? You know,
yeah.
And it really, to me, is like, you know, we really, I think we have to focus more on loving these people when we know they're vaccinated. Right, we know people who are wearing masks outside right now, I think it's a pretty safe bet to believe that those people are quad backs, you know,
yeah,
4 or 5.
I would think so.
And they vote Democrat.
Yeah. And so to me, those, you know, when I see those people, it's hard for me to see them, but I'm really trying to focus on loving those people, especially the people we know, especially our friends and family that we know that are wearing masks still and we know that are quad backs, because I think we all know that they're not going to be here for too much longer, you know? And I feel like I need to love them, me personally, and I hope this resonates with other people, but I think that we need to love them while they're here, love and honor and maybe not respect them if you're not ready to, but strive to do that and love them while they're still with us, because we know they're not going to be here for too much longer. I'm working on feeling pity for those people, you know, feeling like, you know, that we need to know that we're going to be here longer than them and love them while they're still here.
But in a way, though, they're our enemy because they'll vote Democrat no matter what. Almost 100% of all scam wearers will vote Democrat.
And still believe the 9/11 story.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't they just come out with some more information on that?
Yes. Oh, so sad. Yes. At least a few of the hijackers came out to be CIA informants.
Jeez.
But it's a pattern here. Love these people while they're still with us. That's all I'm saying. Because it doesn't matter if they're going to vote Democrat. They won't be around to vote Democrat the next election.
Yeah.
There might not be another election.
Right. Amen.
Well, they did say they weren't going to allow a debate. Did you see that? Now, I don't know if they can really do that. Like, really?
Yep.
I mean, that's only because Biden isn't capable. He can't debate anybody.
Yeah, it's going to be a weekend Biden.
He's had so many jabs. He's liable to kill over at any moment. I mean, I guess they've given him the real thing with the way his mind has just gone downhill.
Well, they really want Grissom or Michael Robinson Obama in there, and I don't know if they want Michael Robinson Obama anymore. I mean, I know she's a nice lady, but aren't they going to Kenya for a year?
Yes, what I heard. What I heard.
Although Kamala and Newsom are BFFs, you know, they...
Oh, my gosh.
That's what's going to happen, in my opinion.
You know, to me, he has the look of the devil. I mean, it's just that grin and just that attitude. I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, but you have to realize liberals that have never been to California, they see him as the ultimate liberal.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what we did as Californians. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can't stand him. I just cannot stand him. And I can't stomach Kamala either. I mean, honestly.
I heard that Michael Robinson really doesn't want to be president, but they might push her. They think that they could talk into it.
Ugh. No, thank you.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, she wrote a book, and she's sassy. They might get her, push her, him, her through.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm like you. I like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., but I have a hard time voting a Democrat in any way.
Yeah, I will never do it again. Never. Uh-oh. I will never donate money. Never. I was a Bernie supporter.
Oh, I voted for Obama.
So did I.
Yeah.
And I make amends every day.
Like, how could I? But I did.
It was a neoliberal spell. I really do believe that.
Yeah, I never voted for a Democrat.
Oh. Well, I just didn't see. I used to not be a one party or the other. I just kind of voted for the person. But now, I mean, it just seems to me, and you know, maybe I'm a little biased, but it just seems to me that the Democrats are literally the Democrats. I mean, they really seem that, I don't know, they're just so captured by all
they really are.
The wrong stuff. So.
Well, as somebody who woke up from that spell, let me say that, you know, it's a snowball effect. You know, many people are waking up. This is, like I said, revelation, and it's not necessarily all because of political identity. I think a lot of people also, you know, this abortion issue, right? Like, I think there's a lot of people
think it's not so much the abortion as it is the child grooming.
Yeah. Well, that too. But, yes, agreed. I think the indoctrination issue is, you know, more prevalent than the abortion issue. So we can leave that the abortion issue to one side, but you know, I can't help but think how many future voters we would have had, you know, if this abortion issue wouldn't have been pushed to the forefront. But at the end of the day, it's really just spin the wheel of distraction. You know, you know, Ukraine, abortion, you know, immigrants, you know, fill in the blank of all of these things, vaccines, charter schools public schools, you know?
Keep the attention off of the, off of the corrupt,
off of what's important. Which is why I'm glad this network is here, so we can bring it back to the forefront, that there are things that really matter, the things that really are going to propel our society forward. You know, in a good way versus this stagnant way that we've been relying on with, you know, the red versus the blue versus, you know, keeping us divided, keeping us, you know, at each other's throats. I think they know what they're doing. And I think that the sooner we can break out of this spell, the sooner that we can survive, humanity can survive.
Yeah. And you know, it's so difficult for me, and I get so frustrated because there's so many people out there that, you know, they look at what, like, we're trying to do, especially you guys, because you've been doing this. It's what you do. And, you know, and people like me that are new at this, and I'm trying and all, and they kind of look at me, and they're like, you know, you're wasting your time. You know, you're not going to change any of this. And it's like... Do they really believe that you're just supposed to sit back and do nothing? I mean, that floors me that people believe that. And I don't even know how to respond to them sometimes. You know, I absolutely don't believe that. I believe we do have to try, even when it seems like the change is that we want to see aren't coming, we still have to, you know, try to do the right work that we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, I guess, lazy people in the world. They're very fortunate.
That's
for the people,
true.
You know,
true.
very fortunate for people that are doing things.
So to answer that question, so, you know, how are we supposed to respond to these questions? Do you really think that you're going to fix things? I would say, write this down.
Okay.
Get some chicken. Get a flock of chicken. Have your, was it your brother-in-law or your brother?
My brother.
Your brother, who can build chicken coops. Have your brother build you a chicken coop.
Okay.
Give the people who said, how are you going to fix things, give those people some eggs.
I gotcha. Keep it simple. Just give them a simple task. Just something very simple to do, not such a...
This is what I'm going to do for you. How am I going to fix this? The question is asked to the people who want to make a difference. The question is asked, how are we going to fix it? We are going to get some chicken. We are we're growing vegetables. We're going to give those people vegetables and some and eggs. And then those people, that's planting the seed. My show is called Seeds of Change, right?
Yeah.
We're going to change this, even if it's burnt, you know, burnt soil. We're going to grow things out of it. We're, you know what I mean? In a very tangible way. That's how we're going to do it.
So, Danielle, can you tell people
it's
real quick when your show is on?
Yeah, and talk, but now he's calling on you.
Yes, my show is every Sunday, Seeds of Change, from 3 to 6 Pacific Time, and we talk about all of these things.
All right. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for being here tonight, spending your evening with us. Christina, thank you for being here as well. We'll see you next
week.
All right. Everyone else, please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here, but until tomorrow. Hold on to the handrail, hold alive, and remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Negative, and I am Negative.